Well, Jay, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little cooped up here. It's time for a move, I think. Get some space, some bigger yard, that kind of thing. What do you think?
You are really going to move? But that's a big deal. Like, you can't do
it
that
in
your
big deal.
You're scared to even leave your living room.
What seems like a big deal moving isn't when you use the right people. You can use these sell your own home situations where you're bartering with a guy in your driveway for 45 minutes and you end up selling for $3, or you can use a professional that makes moving actually simple. Who are we going to use?
But the problem is obviously Tom, but my worry is you're so far, you're in Orleans.
Tom will come to Orleans. He'll go to Russell. He'll go to Clarence Creek. He'll go to west of the Westy Village, wherever it is out there. He'll go anywhere for you and make that experience that you were talking about of nervous or a lot of work, make it seem like nothing. Bastion and Ferguson will literally smooth out the easiest move of your life.
Wow, even in Orleans, I just can't get over that.
Yeah, once you hit 10th line, 11th line, 14th line, he's still coming. He's driving in his brand new Dodge Caravan, carries his family around in, will sell your home. That's what I'm looking for, an easy ride with Bastion and Ferguson. Look them up. He's going to sell you quick and easy. Mr. Vic Router, the legend, please name me three shows on your PVR.
You know what? You're going to think, here I go. I'm old school. I don't PVR.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? It's fun. Now I'm going to show you the kind of guy I am. My wife and I, now we've got the 5 installed, but we are still people who will say, at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, we want to watch that show. So we'll sit down and make sure and sit down. So PVRing for me doesn't really exist.
Wow. That just blew me away.
That's old school.
Seriously,
it's funny. It's a generational thing because I noticed a lot of people my age, and I'm 66 now. We are not into that. We're just not. We sit down. We're going to have dinner and we're going to eat at 6:30. So
yeah, it's funny. I tell my kids that sometimes. I say, you're missing that chance to run to the TV at 6 o'clock. You know, it is a thing that they will miss out on. I do agree.
But it's the truth. So I'm sorry. Yep.
Amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Now I'm going to ask Steve a TV question. Steve, where would you rather hang out? The bar Cheers or the Peach Pit from 90210?
Oh, that's almost an impossible question to answer, Mark. The Peach Pit.
All right.
Because better looking girls.
All right.
There again, it's an age thing.
Yeah.
It's a generational thing.
It's totally.
For me, I want to go over to Norm and go, hey, Norm.
Yes.
I grew up with Cheers. Cheers was my show.
I did consider Norm, how cool is that? But Cliff Clavin's there.
And Cliff Clavin coming in and giving you some silly trivia on why a dime was a dime and not 9 cents. I mean,
You can't beat that. Jason, for Christmas, would you rather have a model ship or a model car?
A model ship? No, model car. 1,000,000%. Thank you.
Okay.
Vic, I'm so happy you approved of that.
Yeah.
I'm so it means everything.
Car thing. Come on, we're still car guys. Come on.
You're winning, Jay.
Exactly. Yeah, Jay's winning right now. So we're through that silliness. Vic Router, a Canadian broadcasting legend for TSN, joined TSN in 1985. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was 1 year after TSN went on the air in 84. I got there 1 year exactly. One year later.
Yeah. And before that was a sportscaster at CBC, and you covered the Olympics before that, correct?
Well, that's it. So 84 was the Los Angeles. And then a lot of people moved over after that. The likes of John Wells, Peter Watts, some executives as well. And they remembered me when I got let go from CBC in 85. So I was picked up right away.
Wow. And
what was it that they remembered about you?
I would like to help. I would like to think it was work ethic. They gave me in Los Angeles, I was doing field hockey. And field hockey, the Canadian team, men's and women's teams were expected. The women were really expected to medal because they had finished second in a pre-tournament in Malaysia. And my color commentator and I, a lady by the name of Judy McCrae from Western, we called 56 games of field hockey, all men's, all women.
Wow.
And at the noon hour in L.A., that it got very, very hot, and every other sport took a break because of the heat. The only game that played was field hockey at East Los Angeles College in L.A.
Oh, my God.
No way.
In the very Hispanic area. And every day, Brian Williams would come on and say, well, yeah, you know what this means? It's hockey day in Los Angeles. And out to Vic and Judy. And every day, we covered off about an hour between main events. I'll say field hockey is the main event. But between the events, such as gymnastics or anything else going on. So literally, we carried the CBC network for an hour every day with field hockey.
Wow.
So I like to think that that's what they remember him.
Yeah.
Of course. That's crazy. That's amazing. So
on top of that, you've covered auto racing, soccer, hockey, baseball, bowling, squash, volleyball, cycling, rugby, equestrian, and skiing. Which of those is
okay, let me think now. I've done diving. I've done softball at the Olympics, baseball at the Olympics, ringette. Called cricket at the Sky Dome in Toronto. One time they had they had 3 years of fundraisers, the West Indies versus the rest of the world. And I've also done rugby. Now you're going to think, so what haven't I called? CFL football.
Really?
No
way.
Did you host a show too?
I've never done a CFL game.
And you hosted a CFL show, didn't you?
And I was part of the CFL crew at one time. I'd host the show.
Weird.
Similar to what Rod does now. But yeah, never called a game. Yeah.
What was the hardest sport to call out of all those ones we kind of named out? I see some ones like squash and stuff, or cricket for that matter.
Okay, you know, squash at one time, you know, we forget that in its infancy, TSN didn't have a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so back prior to 2009 and the economic collapse, part of a lot of people's pay packages was squash memberships. So we must have done about 12 events a year. And it's a good game to call if you know the game. I think the ones that are most difficult are something like cricket. I mean, I have to learn that, you know, it's a six, or how many overs are we playing, and that kind of thing. So it's the homework that's involved. But I think all of us go through that when we're doing something new.
Yeah, no, I can see cricket. We asked Alex Bunbury how long it would take for him to explain us cricket, and he said hours. Hours.
But again, you know, I get one of those things where those people who know it, you know, and people say, would you do any broadcast? I said, yeah, and what's your favorite? And I have to admit, my favorite is the one that I'm doing right now. Because it doesn't matter what the event is. If someone said, Vic, you're going to be doing the Tiddlywinks Championship, I have to be totally immersed in it. I have to feel like it's the best thing ever, because I can't insult the person who's watching. that person watching thinks that's the greatest thing ever. And he might have a son or a daughter.
I can tell you.
So I want to make sure that I represent that sport in the best way I can.
I can tell you, we felt that when you did the soccer broadcasting, like the color commentary. I felt it as a kid when you screamed out.
But
the
you
names.
Don't have to, you know. And
100%.
You know, we were going to chat about the Canadian Soccer League, but at that time, it was the only thing we had. We had something that the Americans didn't even have.
That's
we
right.
We got in front of the Americans after the 86 World Cup. The Americans thought we're going to start a league. You know what? We started it first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm quite proud of it. It was semi-amateur, to say the least. They brought in a few players, like a Justin Fashanu from England. He was a full-time guy, but it was the only thing we had. So, no, I'm quite proud of it. 6 years. Mm-hmm.
Did you know soccer before that? Like, did you volunteer for that position, or were you voluntold?
Oh, no. I think partly they said, you know it. And I said, I played it in high school. I was a goalkeeper. I sort of fell into it at that time. But it's not unlike curling. I've been doing curling now for some 33 years. And they said to me, do you play? And I said, yeah, every once in a while I get together at the old terrace in Toronto. We throw stones and we tell some lies and we drink beer. Okay, you're going to be we'd like you to do curling. But, you know, they hooked me up with a sweet man, a real gentleman in Graham Leggett. And it went.
Legend.
Yeah. Where did he come from? How did he end up at TSN?
Well, Graham, if I remember correctly, actually came over from Scotland. You know, he had played at Aberdeen and then played in the English Premier. Came over to be the general manager of Toronto.
Blizzards?
A Toronto team in the old Canadian League. And then eventually he got on to, he got dismissed from there and he went to Carling O'Keefe as a representative, as a media rep. Huh. And he actually followed the NASCAR at that time. Carling was a sponsor of a NASCAR, a red cap Chevrolet back in the early 70s down on the NASCAR circuit. So you can imagine a Scotsman talking to all the boys down south. And then when he was doing some stuff for CBC, and we forget actually that Dale Barnes was the first host of Soccer Saturday. Huh. And when Dale left to become commissioner of the Canadian Soccer League, they approached it right.
Unreal.
Yeah.
That's the stuff you want to know. And we were 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 watching that. And it's a staple for guys of our generation. Like that was amazing to watch.
Soccer Saturday was everything. Like,
well, and then I'll tell you something else, just how far we've come. Okay. Think about what we're doing right now. Back in the day, back in those early days, Graham would talk about, all right, coming up today is Liverpool-Manchester. But last week, Liverpool played Spurs.
Yep.
Let's look at the highlights. And we would have on the old 3/4-inch cassettes, those highlights would be sent to us from the Premier League.
Wow.
To be shown a week later. Today, if you were showing something a week later, nobody would watch. Because you've watched everything in real time. That's how much it's changed.
That's crazy. So you did call the CSL for 6 years.
Right.
And I'm assuming you got to know the players really well.
Yeah.
What happened in 1990? I mean, the 86 team was so good. Then we get a league and then 90 doesn't happen. What do you think happened? Like, did the players, did they not come together? What do you think from your time covering that?
Well, I mean, 86, we do it 6 years. 92, it collapses. And basically, it did collapse. It collapsed under the weight of cost.
Yeah.
You know, not unlike the CFL, gate-driven. Yes, TSN was the carrier once a week on a Sunday and then in the playoff. But, you know, the TV money wasn't anything to speak of. Mm-hmm. And we have a big country. And at one point in time, we had teams in Halifax to Victoria and everywhere in between. You know, you had Ottawa, you had Toronto, you had a team in North York at Esther Shiner Stadium.
Yeah.
Peter Sarantopoulos was the star. And so you had the Toronto Blizzard, then you went to Kitchener, you went to London, and now you make your way out. Teams were going out and playing four games in basically 9 days.
Wow.
And the airline costs, hotel costs, the league eventually just collapsed under it, the weight of the money, the finances.
Were you covering the national team at that time too, the qualifiers and stuff leading up to?
No, that was still CBC at that time. The contract left them, and Graham and I started doing some of those as well. But that national contract would go back and forth for a while, and all the CSA contracts, all the CSA deal now is with the TSN.
Okay.
Or Soccer Canada, I guess.
Yeah, that's where I remember Soccer Saturday religiously, and then you calling the national team. my cousin was Jerry Gray, so he played on it. So I was watching every single game, and we're like Vic Router soccer disciples. Like, you know, we're the kids that listen then. And like, I think what Jay said earlier, like it's maybe we're buttering you up too much. I don't know, but, your calls and their passion for that, like I remember running around my living room, and I've only ever done that for hockey here in Canada.
Yeah, well, it's kind of you to say, and I, you know what, and I really do appreciate it. Listen, it's there's a different feeling sometimes among some of those who know better. Should you have an English voice, Scottish voice? Should you have a German voice? I don't know. I'm the Canadian voice.
Yeah.
Some people don't like it, I'll admit. Some people like yourselves, I appreciate very much, have liked it. But, you know, you can only be who you are. And I really did have a passion for those guys, because they would, I'm my age. You know, back in the day, the CFL was semi-professional. And I say this for this reason. So, When Forrest Gregg was a Hall of Fame late player with Green Bay under Vince Lombardi, came to Canada to coach the Argos. And he said, well, we're going to have team meetings at 10, and we're going to have our first run through at 1, and then we'll practice. And they said, no, practice is at 4 o'clock. Well, what do you mean? Well, because he's a teacher, and he works in a butcher shop, and he has a landscape business, and he couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it eventually changed, but that's what the CSL was. There were guys who had other jobs, and they did this. And some of them then were good enough, were spotted. You mentioned Alex Bunbury, Paul Pesca-Solito.
Mobilio.
Right? Mobilio
Jason,
never got
a, Jason DeVos.
Never got a sniff.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. He never did, Dominic. But, you know, those guys had a chance. And there were Americans, too, like Ted Eck, who was a big star in indoor. If you remember Ted Eck, he came out from the States.
Yeah.
And there were guys in the States who had no place to go and found a place in Canada playing in the CFL.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a passion for it. I really did. And it's too bad, as I say. But we can feel very proud. Because it wasn't until after the Olympics after the World Cup of 94 that they started the league, and they put things in place for what was then becoming MLS. And it's interesting to note, you all are probably aware, that Canada qualified for that World Cup in Mexico as the only country without a domestic league.
Yeah. It's true.
Right. So it's hard to believe that they managed. And now since then, we haven't been able to call.
Yeah. I heard you on another interview talk about, well, first of all, your voice, like my family's British, you know, Mark's got Ukraine, Jay has British, whatever. Like I love obviously hearing all that. I like you being there because it was recognizable for me as a Canadian. I think that kind of stands out. I heard you in another interview talk about that you'd heard, or you people who had shunned the league at the time, like it would be in Brampton or North York, and they wouldn't go to a game. Like that kind of resonated with me, you know?
Well, it's the truth. And I equate it with, well, I'll tell you my favorite story was we had done 90 World Cup Italy. It was myself, Dick Howard was on the panel, and Tommy Docker, the old English, I think, Manchester manager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was Vic, Dick, and the Doc. And so we had finished, and we took into the airport to fly home that Sunday night. And we're in the airport having a pop, and some fella comes over and goes, "Mr. Docker, gee, I watch you all. You're one of my heroes." And I said, "Well, where are you from, sir?" And he said, "I live down in Burlington." He said, "I'm from Peterborough, like Peterborough in England." And I said, "So Burlington, do you ever go over and watch the Hamilton Steelers?" So, because it's 90, so it's what, fourth year of the league. He's,
"Yeah.
Why would I want to watch that crap?" And I said, "For God's sakes, you're watching Peterborough."
True.
But it's the truth.
It's true.
It's like hockey fans. I'm a hockey fan.
Yeah.
But would you go across the street and watch that junior B game?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Why not? It's a hockey. You're going to appreciate the game for what it is. And I never understood that. The CSL wasn't Premier League. It wasn't anything close to any of the top leagues.
Sure.
You mentioned the 86ers with the likes of Catliff and Valentine and Leonard Doozy and so many players off that national team at the time. That team probably could have fought for relegation in the second and first divisions. Not the Premier, but in England in first and second division. They were that good. But Premier League, come on. But you can't compare what they had to what we have today.
No.
So what do you think it is about Canadian fans? So we talked about this on another show, but like, what do you think it is about? Is it about our culture? Is it the weather? Is it that simple? Or what do you think it is? You've been around, you've literally probably been in every single city.
Well,
province.
I think quite honestly, I think we're growing out of it, but we still have a long ways to go. Is that most of our parents, you know, one of the things, I'm going to digress. One of the things that TFC has said, Montreal and Vancouver, we are not your father's league or football. Mm. We want to stand on our own merit. Excuse me. So, going back a bit, you know, people would say, "Why would I want to go watch that crap?" Because, well, you know what? You've been watching Serie A or La Liga or Premier League or Bundesliga, whatever, for many years. Now you're over here.
Yeah.
And parents still picked up the Courier Canadese, or they picked up the German newspaper, they stayed in touch. But those people who, for the most part, fill BMO Field, don't remember that. They might have an allegiance with a team in England or any other league, but their team is TFC.
Yeah.
So the problem was initially that I can't watch her, I won't watch it, because I know what the best is. Well, now people of your generation are seeing what TFC is, that's the best we got. And we've got some really good players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even back in the old North American Soccer League days, guys, and I was part of that too. And it was the Global TV owned the Toronto Blizzard. And we'd go into New York to play the Cosmos with the likes of, Beckenbauer,
yeah,
Canalia, Escandarian. They'd put 80,000 people in the drive stadium. But again, why are they there? Because they were the old time.
Yeah,
they were coming to see the guys who were on there.
That's
on
right.
The downside.
That's right. Beckenbauer and that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we've got guys who are coming in for the most part in their prime. So yeah, you can follow Liverpool. You can still be a Liverpool fan or a Spurs fan. But you are also now a TFC fan, and you're wearing that
stuff. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, old age versus new age, the CPL now, is that, in your opinion, going to struggle for viewership and that kind of thing, given like all the apps and access we have to games around the world? Will our game suffer because of that?
I don't know. I mean, I think what's going to happen is, for example, what's his name? Joel Waterman from Calgary was the first player. He was picked up by Montreal.
Yeah.
So I think what you're going to, you're going to see now is players from there make their way up. You're going to see loan agreements, players coming down and going to to play in the CPL. The goalkeeper Pantemis from Montreal spent this shortened season, that tournament they played down in
Yeah.
He played with Winnipeg. I think you're going to see that. Will they ever garner bigger interest than MLS? No. But again, you know, people are going to have, if you are a fan of the York 9 or 905, what you have to just realize that is your team.
Yeah.
Not and take it for what it is. Don't compare it to MLS. Now, let me say this. If when they play the Champions League game, the qualifier, and whatever team comes out of CPL, and what I'm trying to think who it is.
Oh, it was
Hamilton. It's Hamilton, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe so. Pardon me. If Hamilton should knock off TFC,
Wow.
Yeah.
That's now you've got it like now it's like Europe with your FA Cups and all that stuff. And like your point about it's your team, like my father's from Glasgow and his team's Partick Thistle. That's team. Partick Thistle's 50-100 yards from his house, but he's sitting there sandwiched in between Celtic Rangers and it was easy for everybody else to be, but that was his team for his whole life. And I like that point. Like, and man, how much does it mean if Partick Thistle knocks off? Actually, Partick Thistle won the Scottish League Cup and they beat Celtic in the final in 1971, and every single member of my family still talks about it. Those things just go so far. Like, to your point, that's a great way to look at it.
But, you know, the other thing, too, is, and I've said this before, we want identities. Your football, your soccer, your nation wants an identity. So now it's changed in England, but what was England? England was if the Italian guy or the Spanish guy went down, the English guy stood up and said, "Get up,
yeah,
get up for gosh sakes." And it was for many years punt and chase. Would you agree with me? Punt down the field. It was like throwing it into the end, going into the corner and winning. That was English football. That was
changed.
But it has an identity. Italian has an identity. Italian football, it's almost in some respects like basketball. You give the ball up, now your guys run back and you defend as the other team comes up the field.
Yeah.
Canada's had no identity.
Yeah.
And the problem with that has been, in the past, every province, every soccer association played a certain way. Because the Italian community thought theirs was first.
Yep.
Germans thought theirs was first. English thought theirs was first. It was very difficult for Soccer Canada to implement a national program. So they go into, say, the Italian part, let's just pick one, let's go into Maple, Ontario. We know that the Azzurri are there, that's the organization. We'd like you to work with us because we'd like your players, when they come to the national program or as they come to under 15, 16, 17, all the way up, we have some structure. Excuse me. Well, they didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And it really hurts the program. So now with John Herdman, I think, and before him, a few others have instilled something in other associations across the province so that, in fact, when they go scouting to Nova Scotia and they see somebody, the kid is playing similarly to what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So here's, speaking of the Champions League and Canadian players here, I want to ask you something that a lot of us, I remember yelling at my TV, and I don't think social media was huge at the problem at the time, but do you remember on TSN when you had the Champions Leagues, and the curling would go long, and the Champions League would get bumped back a little bit? Did you hear about that? Did people ever see in the street and be like, what are you doing? Or, you know, like, did anyone ever mention that to you?
Did you get my letters, Vic, is what I want.
But you know something, and listen, I'll be, you can't leave one. What was the incident with, well, Dave Hodge threw his pencil, remember that? What was
that?
And then he got really ticked off one time when actually he was defending curling. I think CBC got out of a prior game to go to NHL, and he said, "Wait, we've got to finish."
Yeah.
And the format always is: you started something, and you finish it, and you get off as quickly as possible. Now, we've got five channels. I think Sportsnet has six or seven with Sportsnet 1 and the like. So you can redirect, and you can say, "Hey, you want to watch that Champions League? Go over to TSN."
Yeah.
Whatever happened to be. But yeah, back in the day, sure, it pissed off a lot of people, right? No doubt. but you can't leave it.
No.
You can't leave it. And you'd be surprised, and I'm not here to defend it, but I will. curling draws
extraordinary. Oh, yeah.
And will quite often beat hockey on a regular basis, including the league.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue with the curling numbers. All I would say, and it's the worst defense, is it pissed me off.
No, so, I'm like, sure.
That's why I want
you wouldn't be alone.
No.
But think of it the other way. If I'm in Edmonton sitting there waiting to go on the air with a curling match at the Brier, and we're being held up by a NASCAR race.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, or something else that's running along. And I'm going, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. My argument, I bet you anything, there are more people waiting in anticipation of a curling than the preceding program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you ever call a game or a match of anything that you felt was so boring that it was difficult to get through? Do you ever remember a time like that, or do you just lose yourself in it?
Well, I think, to be quite honest with you, I think atmosphere has a lot to do with it.
Because, like the national team atmosphere?
Well, national team atmosphere. Just even a couple of thousand people yelling we'd get 4,000 or 5,000 people at Swangard Stadium, which is a pretty little park in Burnaby. Stands on only one side, but the mountains in the background, and then people would ring the field with their lawn chairs.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, but then again, we'd go to Kitchener, and we do that game, Kitchener Kickers, against somebody. Graham and I would be in a little green hut at the stadium. You maybe see it on the way to St. Jacob's Market. And it's right beside the Memorial Arena there. And I always made the joke, okay, Graham, we're going. It was like being in The Great Escape and saying, to the cooler. You got to go to the cooler. And I'd climb the little stairs, and the two of us would be in this hut. And because the cameras, all we'd see would be the cars going back and forth on the highway. And you think,
oh, my God.
Now, hopefully the game makes up. But you know, there are some bad games in every sport.
Yeah.
And nothing makes up for a good game. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. So it's, yeah. I mean, there's some of those parks, the first game ever was in Aylmer Stadium, Terry Fox Stadium, Hamilton in Ottawa. And it had been raining and was raining heavily. And the floor was flooded in the booth. And our cords and everything are laying in water.
Oh, my God.
And Graham said, can we put our headsets on? And I said, well, just make sure your headset, try to lift up the cords. So we lifted up our cords and had them on our laps.
Oh, my God.
So we wouldn't electrocute ourselves when we put on our headset.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, oh, listen, some stadiums were terrible.
Yeah. Is that Terry Fox Stadium in Ottawa?
Is
that Terry Fox Stadium in Ottawa?
I'm going to be right back, boys. I'm just going
to. Yeah, that's no problem. Yep. That's no problem.
Was he talking about Terry Fox in Ottawa?
It's all we had, guys. And, you know, when you think about it, we wanted to play. I'm sure they wanted to play Toronto FC or Toronto Blizzard at that time. They started off playing at Lamport Stadium. And Lamport was a lousy place. Then they ended up going out to Etobicoke.
Yeah.
Centennial Stadium there. And then eventually finished down at Varsity Stadium. But, oh my gosh, you just had nothing else. And I think that's also what maybe led people to really like, I can't go watch that. You know what? That's all we had.
Yeah. What was the, I mean, you've mentioned some names. I want to put you on the spot. I'll let you answer either one. Best or favorite player from the CSL back in those days?
Wow. Dominic Mobilio was a scoring machine, and unfortunately lost him much too soon to a heart condition. But
yeah.
He was a striker. I remember I'm digressing. Canadian soccer has come a long way. We've learned how to play. We now have players who can put the ball in the net.
Yeah.
Back in those World Cup days we were talking about, we were mostly a defensive team.
Yeah.
If we could catch you on the counter, we would, and we'd pop one.
Right.
Similar idea. I mean, something and I'm just going to leave it for a second, but a good example of that was Canada's team playing Brazil in Edmonton prior to the 94 World Cup.
Yeah.
When Eddie Verduzco scored.
Yeah.
He caught Brazil on the counter.
Yeah.
So we now have learned how to play. Mobilio, as a striker, was ahead of his time.
Huh.
And I'm surprised that he didn't get some real interest.
Yeah.
Francesco Salido was good as well. Alex to go over to Maritimo in Portugal and become a star.
That's true.
We had some good players. But the game now is different. We have learned to play, and we have players that are now getting looks all over the world.
You're like Bunbury said, he credits you for everyone knowing his name, and it's not far off. Like you hearing Bunbury's name, I hear your voice, and I'm not just saying 100%. That. Like it is 100%. Anybody who's listening to this, if they don't hear your voice when the Bunbury said, turn off this podcast. We don't want you to listen because you don't understand.
You don't get it.
Like Google it. And Mobilio.
Yeah.
When you said his name, I wanted to run through the wall in my house.
Yeah.
I was like, Mobilio. I would say it at recess.
And I mean, others than I appreciate Bunbury, it. And like, one of the nicest things was me actually getting to chat with Teal Bunbury in Montreal. And he said, oh, I know you. And I said, thanks. How's Dad doing? He says, oh, Dad talks often about you because he lives in Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken. But, listen. You had to have I've always been that way. I just, like, not a twist. I don't want to be corny about it, but you needed to be exciting, excited at the right time. There's this old adage about in broadcasting. You can't start your broadcast up here. You don't want to be down here. You just want to be here because you need some room when it gets exciting to go. So that's the way I've always approached it.
So do you have a favorite? Because for like Pesha Salido, Mobilio, Bunbury, and Verduzco are like four. Sometimes I sleep and wake up hearing those ones from you. Like, do you have a favorite of those?
Well, I mean, I think I'm going to take it back. So, 94 World Cup, and many of the teams, including Germany actually based themselves just north of the city. What's the name of that hotel off of Highway 9? I can't think of it now. Anyway, they base themselves because the gentleman who owns it is a German folk.
Okay.
And Canada played, I think, 7 games in 10 to 12 days.
Crazy.
And one of the last was, well, I think the last one was against Germany at Varsity, and they got hammered 6-0. We're tripping over the tongues.
Yeah.
We were out in Edmonton, and so Graham and I go into the booth on the day before, and we're watching the Brazilians practice. fellows, there had to be a good dozen radio reporters commentating on the practice.
Huh.
That's how much the team and football means to Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
So for them to get the lead on Taparel.
Yeah.
And like, my gosh, that was, can you imagine Canada beating Brazil? Oh, it was crazy. It was truly special.
That's amazing. Yeah. No wonder you could tell in the excitement. I've got two questions and I'm out and Mark can take over. If I asked you to do one of those calls right now, would you do it? Or would you say you're an idiot? I'm never coming back on this podcast.
No, you know what? You can't. It's like, and I, with all respect, it's like saying make the final or count them up or do those things. I save those for the game, but I thank you.
Yeah. So what about if I asked you to come?
You're an idiot.
That's what I thought was coming.
The way you said that was.
I know
how it's going.
I want to get it in. Better. You're an idiot.
That's better. That's better. And then I can't even ask you this, but I'm going to. Why don't you come to my old timer soccer game on Friday, and commentate on the game for me? Just do my game.
Isn't that funny? Because we used to do. Graham and I used to go out to soccer associations right in.
Yeah.
It was a contest, and we would go out and we would go to their practices and do those games. And Graham and Dick Howard were with the team. But it's actually something we've considered doing in curling where somebody would win, and we would go out and we would set up just a small, now with Zoom you can do it, but we could set up just a small table and we would do our commentary on the Thursday night men's league.
Oh my God.
In Halifax.
Oh something. My God.
Could you imagine? Yeah. I mean, what a great idea that would be. But
that's incredible.
You're still an idiot. But
oh my God. For like a split second, I was ready to text all my Friday night friends and say, he's coming. I got him.
So speaking of those road stories you hit in Halifax and stuff, I briefly heard a story that I love. You mentioned Fashanu earlier. Is there a story about him chasing an owner or running to get an owner or something?
Mario de Bartolomeo. Yeah.
Were you there?
We were doing the game. It was at Centennial Stadium.
No way.
He's a visitor. And he had played for Mario in Hamilton and was then picked up by Toronto. And Mario's up in the booth. And again, you know, Centennial Stadium has got a box maybe 20 feet long, 10 feet wide. And the stands are aluminum. Mario's chirping at him from this. And you know, there's only about 20 rows. You're not up that high.
Yeah. Like, oh,
he's not up in the rafters. Finally, Fashanu has just had enough. Runs right off the field, and all you hear is his spikes clanging right up the stairs as he goes to confront him in the booth.
Wow. You know,
and the referees had to come and just settle him down. And they told Mario, stop your chirping. And yeah, that's a true story.
Oh, wow.
There's another one. There's Justin, too. We lost him.
Too soon.
Was he a top player in the league? Like, was he a different level?
He was. And I think he came over and he realized it. You know, we also, he was one of the first players to admit to being and coming out.
Yeah.
So that was also historical for the league and for him and at that time. So he, but no, we every once in a while we'd get a player like him, but no, primarily was domestic and you'd get the odd player from the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to switch gears and we're going to jump into a Vic Router rapid fire. Okay. So my first question
you know what? At my age, though, I fire blanks sometimes. I just want you to know. Okay. So whenever you throw at me, this might come back with a.
All right. Yeah. Perfect.
Just tell Steve he's an idiot, and it's
yeah, exactly. Well, that goes along with the first question: is how often do idiots like Steve ask you to do the Mobilio calls or the 1, 2, 3, count them up? Do you get asked that on the street and stuff like that?
No, you know what? Unfortunately, listen, and I appreciate you, your fellow's interest, but no, I think, you know what? Time passes. Every once in a while, I might be in working in Vancouver, or somebody will come up and say, "I remember the league," but no, not very often. You think about it, 92.
Yeah.
Where are we here? Oh, it's almost. I mean, how many years? Nearly 30 years.
That's a yeah.
lot. Yeah. Yeah.
What was the last book you read?
Oh, I'm reading one right now. I like American politics, so I'm reading something with regards to the Democrats and their history of actually being the oppressors in the United States. So that's what I'm reading.
Wow.
Wow. So from that to my ultimate question here that we argue on this show a couple of times, can a condor carry a deer or small game to its nest?
No. Come on. This is stupid. Tell him he's an idiot.
Real question.
Tell him
he reads books, Jay. He's an idiot. He reads books. He'll know the answer.
I believe it could, actually.
Oh, Jay, Big Router is on my side. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I accidentally end this interview.
I think with that wingspan.
That's what I said.
Talons.
Yes.
Now, it depends how big. Like, if you're picking up Bambi, that might be. But if you're picking up the big doe or the big buck, no, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Not qualified. That's fair. It had to be.
That's fair.
Yeah, but, you know, they're pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, so here's one. It's not super rapid fire, but I just came to my mind. Since you're like a broadcasting legend, okay, we had on our first episode with this, we had a competition to see who could come up with the name of our show between me, Steve, and Jay. And I think Steve won with Soccer Snobs, okay? Mm-hmm. But mine that I still like.
Oh, no.
Because of the time we're in right now.
So okay, stupid.
We're quarantined. So yeah. I said we should be named Quarantine United, indoor chat about the outdoor game. Is that good or is that stupid?
No, I like that.
Oh,
thank you.
Better than Soccer Snobs?
Would you have taken that over Soccer Snobs?
No, I don't think you're snobs in the least. Quarantine United might not be bad.
Oh,
I like the way this is going.
I know, Mark, you're having a lot of success with them. I'm the one who's an idiot. Everybody loves the Mobilio call. I thought that was gold.
Did you watch Tiger King?
Oh, no.
No. If you took 10 penalty shots on Craig Forrest today, how many would go in?
None.
Oh.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
No, I can't. My leg would fall off first.
And you were a keeper yourself.
And you have to. And I'd cheat that ball up a little bit.
Do you curl? And are you better than the average Joe?
I used to curl a lot. I can't anymore because of my hips. But I used to be pretty good. I thought I was pretty good. Yeah.
Can you curl without drinking beer?
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny? The game has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
And there's another one. I mean, everybody curls in big knit sweaters and all again, the game isn't your dad's game anymore.
No, it's not.
And you watch the elite guys who are the pros of the game. I think of Brad Guju or Brad Jacobs or Cooey and all these guys. There's a lot of money invested in those guys.
Yeah.
From sponsorship and yeah, they might have a few adult pops after, but boy, not like the way it's back in the day when guys were on the ice with hangovers and you'd wonder why their heads weren't exploding when the rocks came together.
Vic, I don't let my wife watch the curling anymore because those guys that are sweeping, they're huge and they're on tight shirts. They're monsters. Like, you can't watch this.
No, it's
they're athletes.
It's a different game, and they practice and train year round.
But Vic, I have, this is where you're going to hate me because this is where I'm a soccer snob. Okay. And I got an argument with people at school. I'm a teacher. And when I think one of the female curlers, she won Canadian athlete of the year while Atiba Hutchinson was playing in a Champions League, over in with, I think it's with Besiktas or I forget what team he's with. The amount of kilometers he runs in a game is almost probably around 15 kilometers a game. And my thing is, okay, curling is an amazing game. It's a game, and you need to be athletic somewhat. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're going to put athlete of the year, I hate hockey, okay? I'm not a hockey fan. I would even give a hockey player who blocks a shot with his teeth over a curler who is just being honest. And, I played myself. My parents played growing up. I have watched it. Partly because, you know, it's a Canadian right. thing, and my parents were watching it, so I watched it. But can we even say?
But don't you think
it's okay.
It's partly due to the fact where he won it. I'm not going to argue. I mean, I'll go back to Larry Walker and Jacques Villeneuve, male athlete of the year.
Yeah.
Jacques won it after winning the world driving championship.
Yeah.
And you had Larry Walker banging home runs like crazy.
Yeah.
But the argument was, first time Canadian ever done that.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's the world championship. Not arguing whether. I think now, remember what I said earlier about soccer getting respect? I think now, when you talk about female athletes of the year.
Yeah.
You might just get a Canadian national player who's playing in England or in France and winning Champions League. You might get that now. Why? Because more people have seen it. More people are aware of it. I just don't think people were aware of that Champions League win in Turkey.
That's true.
Yeah,
I think people are more aware of it. So I think you might not get that snub from snob.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, so we'll bring that serious conversation back to, do you like pumpernickel bread?
Yeah. I do love it.
I love it too. So we're like soulmates. I'm loving
my my background is Swiss, and so it's a little Germanic, and come on, man. Pumpernickel with mustard.
I'm loving this.
Yeah. Totally agree. Totally
How
agree.
Many sugars in your coffee?
No, none. One sweetener.
One sweetener. In an arm wrestling match right now, you v. Jerry Dobson, who wins?
I think we'd probably meet in the middle and go, that's it. We would just meet up here and go, do you really want to do this?
No, yeah, I'm tired. I'm
tired already. Yeah, I love it. So here's two more questions, two more would you rather questions, and then we're going to do a quick quiz and we're out. We'll let you get back to your life.
Thanks.
Would you rather?
I'll never get this time back, you know.
No, but you will at some point research condors before the night's over.
Yes,
yeah. I think you will. It's so stupid.
Would you rather go to a live concert or a live sporting event?
Depends who it is. Again, I mean, I like live concerts. And there are some people that that I've never seen. Again, I'd like to see, surprisingly, Bruno Mars. I'd love to see a Bruno Mars concert.
Wow.
But given that opportunity, I would. It depends what the sport is and whether I'd want to go and see it live. But I'd look at it and make it a decision.
You're lost in the rainforest. Would you rather have a canteen of water or five matches?
An umbrella.
And that's why he is who he is. Last one. Would you rather be in the stands for a Canada-Mexico game at the Azteca in a Canada jersey or fly a 10-hour flight sandwiched between Jay and Dan from TSN?
Hey, looky, that's a you got him there, Mark.
Maybe if we were flying together to Azteca
to
go to the game, then that would be okay.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Wow.
So before we get into the quiz, we usually circle back around to a serious situation where I just want to say, like, the Graham Leggetts, the John Motsons, the Coles and Romanucks for the World Juniors, like, and the great Vic Router, these professionals in this industry, they make our sports experience. You really do. And, like, it's such a difficult skill. It is. I mean, look at us on Soccer Snobs. We're on show 11, and it's the hardest thing in the world to talk and to fill and to make things exciting. And I just want to say thank you for what you do. Thank everybody for what you do, because you do enhance our sports experience. So thank you for that. And thank you for coming on and spending time with us.
Well, listen, one idiot and two guys. The lighting isn't good. I'm blushing, and I'm extremely flattered that you would ask me. And it's because I tell you what, it was a very special time for mm-hmm. me to do those games, to work with Graham all those years. I was asked to do the eulogy for him at his
oh, wow.
And we have a lot of stories from Graham Leggett. He was a truly wonderful man. So to be able to speak about him and the game with you, I can tell you that it has been my pleasure. So I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vic.
Amazing.
We're going to end it off on a quiz. And Steve is up 6-4 on Jay. Okay. So the guest has always won so far. And I think this will be in your wheelhouse. How much, I'm going to start with the great Vic Router, and then I'm going to go to Steve and then Jay. How much does one brand new curling stone cost if you were to purchase it?
Oh my God. What a great question. Your questions are usually stupid. That's a good question. That's a great question.
About $400.
Steve?
Vic, just so you know, every quiz, Jason plays the Price is Right game, and he goes like 401. Like he, yeah, and it kills me. So I think that's why Mark put him last. I appreciate it. He said 400.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 415.
I'm going to say 416.
And the correct answer is $450. So you were off this, and Jay takes it with his stupid tricks. And every time he does that, I have to say, have your pet spayed or neutered. Okay?
Because I hate it.
I'm never letting him go last again. That's my mistake. That was a bad one. Yeah. So anyway, Vic, thank you a million. I mean, I wish we could go on forever, but
my pleasure. It really is. And just before I go, how do you spell condor? Is it D-A-R-D-O-R?
That'll be the quiz next week.
Okay, take care, boys. Pleasure.
Thank you, Vic.
Thanks, Vic. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much for listening today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave us a 5-star review. If you want to get in touch, you'll find us on Instagram at SoccerSnob1, on Twitter at SoccerSnobs1, by searching for us on Facebook, and of course on the web at www.soccersnobs.ca/listen. You can leave us your opinion, give us any comments, and if that's where you want to get nasty, feel free to do so.